Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome in a friend who's has really done a lot as far as high school football coverage. He does, you know, the entire gamut. I know he loves football the best, but he does a tremendous job at the Sun Sentinel doing that. But one of the reasons that I wanted to get David Feronis on the show today was because of the fact that he wrote a blog article, and we'll let him talk about it a little bit more, about why South Florida is such a potent area for high school football. David, thanks so much for jumping on with us this morning, and welcome in.
Hey, Larry, thanks for having me anytime. Thanks for those kind words.
No, but I know you work hard, and I see you're very diligent, and you've done a great job. I know football is one of your favorite sports. I can't, because the people at the Sentinel are listening, and they go, hey, listen, he favors that sport. But I know you love all the sports. But from a football standpoint, you took on you know, a topic that a lot of people around here have been talking about for a long time, why South Florida is the way it is, and why so much talent, and why 67 kids from Dayton Broward last year were in the NFL, twice as much as the, maybe almost three times as much as the nearest community. Talk about that and what your findings were, and because I know you talked to a lot of people who have been around for a long time. What was the reasoning that you heard the most?
Right. Well, yeah, first, that was one of my favorite articles ever to write. That was before I even got the job at the Sun Sentinel, where I work now, and definitely one of the top clips that I used to get that job. So, so having that certainly helped. But I talked to a lot of people. You were one of them for sure. So I had to rely on your expertise, having covered this area for going on nearly
a billion years. Too long.
Yeah. So I really like the historical perspective that you were able to provide. You know, your vast knowledge, and I spoke to Luther Campbell. You know, he really gave kind of the inner city perspective, and you know what it's like for a lot of these kids growing up, and just how hungry they are to succeed, and using football as a way to get out. And I mean, there's just so many reasons. The climate has to be one of them. You know, they have year-round football here. You know, once the season's over, it's 7-on-7 time, and you see these kids. If you're not out there, then you see them on the highlights on all over Twitter and Instagram. They're making stellar catches, right, defensive plays, everything. And, just the competition that they face all the way from their youth days, for sure. They're always kind of a step ahead of everyone else. Like when they're playing at a certain age, it's almost like they're getting the experience of playing 2 years ahead.
And exactly.
So,
yeah.
Before they even get to high school, they've already played kind of high school caliber talent.
You know, David, that's a great point you make, because of the youth football programs, and regarded pretty much by everybody as, one of the top areas in the country for youth football. I mean, by the time these kids get into the ninth grade, as we're seeing with so many, the most recent guy I can remember was Joseph Yearby, who came out of just a very, very impressive youth program, in Miami at Gwen Cherry, and then went to Miami Central in his opening game against Camden County, returned a kickoff 95 yards. I mean, Central lost, but that's what I'm saying. You, the Dalvin Cooks, where you could just take off from that youth football, and then at the next year, you're seeing a lot of these kids blend in. I don't see that as much everywhere else in the country. So that is a big reason, David.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean they come in already facing that kind of talent. And then you see it. You see, even some of the elite teams, they get, like last year, that you'll all have a class of 2021 player or two that's really contributing to a state championship type team. And then, and I'm sure this upcoming season, you'll see some of the 2022 guys doing the same thing.
David Ferronis joining us, Sun Sentinel, South Florida Sun Sentinel. I mean, obviously, you see every day, I mean, during the football season, in the off season, just a tremendous amount of transfers going on. I mean, that's something in South Florida because, I mean, if you take a week off, you may not be able to catch up because of the fact that there are kids, especially this time of year, because of the fact that there are different stages. There are kids who are just fed up and want to leave. Then you have those who want to play spring because if you go somewhere else, they won't let you play spring. So they stay till after spring, and then you have this period where every day a kid goes, well, I'm not at that school anymore. I'm not that, you know, at that school anymore. Do you look at it, I mean, and a lot of people say the kids are chasing a ring. Is it a parental decision or a kid's decision? I mean, because you're around it a lot. I mean, and you see it. The pressure to win a state title or to have a ring down here is immense. You know, I mean, we know that every year the Miami Centrals and the Northwesterns and the Carroll Cities and American Heritages and the St. Thomas's are all going to be in a better than average chance to reach the state title. But what about the rest of them? I mean, do we come to a point, and this has been asked of me a lot of times, do we come to a point where all these other schools are just going to be average and they're not going to, you know, they're just going to play, you know, just to get in maybe as an eighth seed? Or will things, you think, level off one day and people say, hey, listen, you know what, I'm not going to wait 2 years here just to chase a ring?
Right, right. And you hear a lot of the talk in the NBA about these super teams, that last year the only two teams that really had a chance to win it were the Rockets and the Warriors. And then, you know, you kind of see some of the same things in high school football down here. You got your St. Thomas Aquinas, you have your Miami Central, Miami Northwestern, Carroll City, those teams, American Heritage, of course, Chaminade is one of those in Broward.
In 8A, the only team that's a private school would be Columbus. So 8A is usually going to be the program or the class that you could look at and say to yourself, not only that, or just out and out predict who, you know, at 7A, you're more than right if you're going to think St. Thomas is going to get there.
Right.
Then 6A, you take a look at any of those three from that one district, and you wouldn't be off since they've been in it, since 12, 14 years in a row with Central and every. Then 5A, it's come down to Heritage because you can't turn your back on them. But yet, here's Cardinal Gibbons knocking on the door. And then last year, Gibbons was talking about Rockledge was one of the top teams. And then we saw, you know, Orlando Jones. And then you get a 4A, which is, and I've always maintained this, anytime you keep Booker T in things, they're always going to be a chance. They always have the chance because, everybody has those, like a university school in Cocoa, have a lot of those skilled kids and maybe a frontline line on both sides. But that's where Booker T differs. They have those size. They have more depth on both sides. And you'd hate to see them if you were, you know, in the first round, if you were, like, let's say, a number one seed and they were a six. I mean, that wouldn't be the ideal first round. And then, you know, obviously in the private schools this year, Chaminade probably got a huge boost with Oxbridge closing. What do you think about that? Oxbridge closing up, it's one of those programs that almost reached a pinnacle and then they just decided that it wasn't for them.
Yeah, you talk about transfer season, and that's where the greatest amount of transfers are
the
happening.
Moving vans are there as we speak, I think. You know?
It's a shame. I mean, you know, you see a team make this this rise to get to a state championship game so quickly. You know, having Doug Socha there, the former American Heritage Del Rey state championship winning coach, take over, and then you know, you just saw the slow but sure de-emphasization of football there, and then eventually they let Socha go, and Brendan Kent, one of the coordinators, he comes up and is a head coach, and he does a fine job. But then, you know, it really reached its tipping point this offseason. You know, now all the players, as the program shuts down, are
scrambling,
finding other places to go.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not going to
Central, one of them.
Yeah, Atlantic being the other.
Yes.
They're not going to. They're just going to make those Palm Beach County teams a lot stronger. Dave, thanks so much. If anybody wants to follow you through the course of the week with the Sen, I'll give anybody some of that information.
Yeah, definitely. My Twitter is at David Furones. David Furones _. Follow me definitely throughout the season. Bunch of high school football coverage going on all through the Tri-County area. And, right for the Sun Sentinel, check out all of my articles. Also, my partner, Wells Dusenberry. We do a fine job covering high school football and all high school sports here in South Florida.
Yes, you do. Dave, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Anytime. Good guy, David Furones, hard worker.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.